today on Real Radio.
Church, friends, listen, believers, unbelievers, can you find in all of human history a greater servant to mankind than Jesus? Can you find somebody better than that? Good luck. Mother Teresa, no. Think about it. He's the ultimate servant.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Man for the Ages, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. This second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the land of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. Now, in Isaiah chapter 41, we learn that God is sovereign, and he's not intimidated by man-made governments. He's also faithful in keeping his promises, including the promises he made to the nation of Israel. And God alone is the one who exposes deception by challenging false religions and false teachers with the truth found in his word, the Bible. So today on day one of chapter 42, Pastor Jack tells us that God's man for the ages is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is eternal, 100% God. But when he came to the earth as a baby, he also became 100% man. He humbled himself to bring us salvation. Isaiah shared his good news over 3,000 years ago and almost 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And now in his lesson called God's Man for the Ages, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Isaiah 42, and I'm going to make a promise that I'm probably going to wind up breaking, but we're going to try to get through the chapter tonight, and yet at the same time, I'm hoping something different happens tonight in the sense that, with your permission, I hope it'd be okay, that if something comes up, we can break away from the norm and yet stay on target regarding this chapter. I guess what I'm saying is I may be tempted to interact with you more than usual or more than what is the norm here. And should that happen, we want to stay on target. And the target is this. Isaiah chapter 42 begins now. You can start to feel the tempo picking up in the book of Isaiah where there's this push and this revelation and this announcement more and more of God's prophetic word as it relates to the millennium, the restoration of Israel, the end times, and of course, the ministry of Jesus, both, listen, his first coming and his second coming. And tonight, as we begin to look into this chapter, it is a great example of being careful in reading the Bible, because we could read it tonight and be confused if we don't know how God reveals himself. Because listen, the Jews today, right now, today, have their Old Testament scriptures, and they pride themselves in having them. They are the people of the book. And God revealed himself, and he shall reveal himself yet still to the Jewish people. They were given the custody of God's word. And it was God's intention that the Jewish people propagate his word to the ends of the earth. We know from reading the book of Acts that they failed at doing that. God didn't discard them. He put them on hold. He, as it were, pressed the cosmic pause button and then shifted the dissemination of the gospel to the Gentile peoples of the world, of which many of us are tonight, and we're grateful for that. And that may have been news to the Jewish people, and it may have been news to somebody, but it wasn't news to God, because God had always intended to use the Jewish people and the Gentiles to spread his word to the ends of the earth. But before we get into this tonight, I'm going to ask you, turn in your Bibles, even though, keep your spot there in Isaiah 42, hold it. Turn to the book of Revelation, if you would, chapter 1. Turn there. I need you to turn there. And I need you to pull out a pen if you need to. Depends on your publisher of your Bible. I just went back moments ago before walking out here to make sure my Bible was up to par. And on the very first page of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, what does it say at the top of your Bibles? Anybody? Good.
Introduction.
That's what yours says. How about this? Some Bibles say the book of Revelation, and then they get right into chapter 1, verse 1. Some Bibles say, and the Authorized Version, the Old King James has got it right, the proper title of the book of Revelation actually is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that? We get the word apocalypse from the word revelation. The taking off of the banner or the tarp or the covering of like a statue or an image. Like they're going to unveil now the statue in the park of Lafayette or Washington or whatever, and there's a band, and the people are there, and there's cameras, and there's an announcement, and someone pulls a cord, and the statue is unveiled. That's the word apocalypse, and the book of Revelation reveals Jesus Christ, not for the first time. The book of Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation in totality of who Jesus Christ is. And it's quite amazing because as we read tonight and study Isaiah 42, we have a concept in our minds about who Jesus is, either to us or to who Jesus is historically, or the Jesus, you know, we got from the Reader's Digest version, or the Jesus of the various cults of the world, because everybody's reinvented Jesus. But listen, God's got the final word, and Jesus Christ is revealed in the entire Bible, the Old Testament. He is revealed. But listen, at the book of Revelation, in that book, it is his final revelation, and I'd like to add this. It is his eternal revelation to mankind. This is the Jesus that has always been. He's the eternal God. He is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. That's why the title of tonight's message is God's Man for the Ages. You see, Jack, you sure you want to put man up there? Oh, yes, I have to put man up there. And here's the reason why. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, has always existed. He is eternal. In fact, when you read the Bible in totality, you actually find out that Jesus is the one that's actually doing all the heavy lifting in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Because in other portions of the Bible, it tells us in Old and New Testament alike that Jesus Christ was in fact the creator of heaven and earth, as we know it, the atmospheric heavens, the stars, and this earth. See, Jesus didn't have his beginning in Bethlehem. He's eternal. He's the eternal Son of God who came to earth. When he came as a baby in Bethlehem, he became total, absolute man. This is the awesome reality of the God that we worship. And listen, as Christians tonight, you need to understand something, that you are extremely unique in this sense, that you, by God's grace, believe in the full revelation of God's word. The Bible tells us from cover to cover that God's Messiah, the anointed one, would become man. It would be a miracle. Isaiah says this in chapter 7, chapter 9. Micah says it in chapter 5. Various portions of scripture that God would become a human being for the redemption of mankind. Tonight, seated at the right hand of God the Father, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is known as the doctrine of kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, if you want to look it up later, it is a very important facet of the incarnation. The incarnation is that when Mary had a little lamb, his name was Jesus, and Mary's pregnancy was a supernatural event by the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely, think about it, biologically miraculous, of course, and awesome that the fact that when Mary gave birth, this was a virgin giving birth. And the Son of God was born into the world. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that when that happened, that great was the mystery of godliness, and it says that God was revealed to us in the flesh, and the reaction of that moment, the Bible tells us that angels gawked. They were wide-eyed at seeing their Creator for the first time in human skin. Can you imagine? They looked at him. As the prophet, I say prophet, as David prophesied in the book of Psalms, verse or chapter 8, that he made man a little lower than the angels. And yet that very prophetic utterance of Psalm 8 is referenced to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Remarkable. Tonight is our Redeemer, our Messiah in heaven above, 100% God and 100% man, yet without a sin nature. That's how he's your Redeemer. We have what no one else can boast when we read our Bibles as true followers of Jesus Christ. So go back to Isaiah 42 and let's dive in together. Let's look at this. The Lord now begins to speak to the prophet and he says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold." This is God the Father. Of course, the author of the Bible, says the Bible, is the Holy Spirit. So this is God the Holy Spirit, the Father, announcing the Messiah, Christ. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights." This word delight is absolute, perfect pleasure. Do you remember when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River? And do you remember when he came up out of the Jordan as he's being baptized by John the Baptist? The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. It wasn't a dove. I know Calvary Chapel's logo is a dove. That's cute. But a dove didn't land on Jesus' shoulder. Maybe we've seen a nice movie of Jesus being baptized and he comes up out of the water and a dove lands on his shoulder. That's not what happened. He came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Just like a dove would land on you, the Holy Spirit landed on him. And in that, there was the anointing of his Messiah ministry to mankind. And God is saying right here in chapter 42, verse 1, I uphold him. This is the divine work of God announcing by the language, look, behold, look at my servant. Church, friends, listen, believers, unbelievers, can you find in all of human history a greater servant to mankind than Jesus? Can you find somebody better than that? Good luck. Well, Gandhi, no. Nice guy, I'm sure, no. Mother Teresa, no. Think about it. He's the ultimate servant. And God says regarding Christ, now look, you and I, we're 3,000 years removed from Isaiah, 2,000 years removed from Christ. And we know the truth and we know that when we consider Jesus, oh yeah, that's true. Behold, my servant. Yeah, I see why God said that. Whom I uphold. Yeah. Jesus said he did everything that the Father told him to do. My elect one in whom my soul delights. Yeah, you got it. You got to remember something. This is a prophetic utterance 3,000 years ago about the coming of your Messiah. Isaiah chapter 53, no need to turn there. We'll be there next week, next year sometime. In Isaiah chapter 53, he begins to speak that language again when he speaks about his son. And he says, my servant will bear the sins of many. Listen, God will say in Isaiah 53, my servant will die. My servant will die for the sins of the world. My servant. I know no servant like that. Neither do you, but Christ alone. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 42. I put my spirit upon him. God says, I put my spirit. Look in your Bibles. It's capital S. This is the person of the Holy Spirit. This is not a spirit. This is my spirit. The divinity of the Holy Spirit. My spirit will be upon him. He will bring forth. This means righteousness. He will bring out, bring forth. He will communicate righteous justice to the Gentiles. Everybody in the room, everybody watching right now, listening or viewing this, maybe podcast, whatever, you ought to pull over, you ought to stop, get a highlighter, and you ought to circle that word Gentile right there, Gentiles. Now, listen, how many of you are Gentiles in here tonight? Raise your hand. You say, I'm not sure if I should raise my hand. Or if you're not a Jew, raise your hand. If you're not Jewish, raise your hand. Come on, I'm not going to bite. Okay, that's a lot. Aren't you glad? Listen, right here, right now. We could end tonight with this verse and go home and praise the Lord for the rest of our days. God says right here, he is going to be the one that is going to bring forth righteous justice to the Gentiles. The word is interpreted two ways. Both ways are accurate. All scholars agree. Number one, the Gentile world is going to be judged before God. Of course they are. So is the Jewish world. But the verse also means this, that he is going to bring salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile. And that's a wonderful thing for us, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. You are living examples of Isaiah 42, verse 1. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're an Italian or a Portuguese or a German or a non-Jew, it's a miracle you're sitting here right now. It's a miracle. Look at you. You're saved. You trust Christ. You understand? It's a miracle that God pulled back the veil of darkness from your eyes. And you could say tonight, I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, you are an absolute weirdo in the world. Listen, we take it for granted. If I could transplant all of you tonight and send you with me over to Israel and walk the street and you say, hey, hi, I'm so happy to be here, all you Jews. I'm so happy to be here in Israel. I'm a Gentile that believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, let me tell you right now, as soon as you said that, they'd be walking like this. They don't care anything about what you're saying. Not a word. Until you say, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're going to go like this. It's happened to me. I should say, it's happened to me. What do you mean you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac? Are you Jewish? No, but the God I worship is. The word Jew means a praiser, one who praises. Did you know that? If your name's Judy tonight or Jude, did you know that? That's what your name means, to praise the Lord. That's why Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says a Jew is not one who is a Jew outwardly by the circumcision of human hands. A true Jew is the person who has been circumcised in the heart by the Holy Spirit, whose praise and recognition is not of man, but of God. Isn't that amazing? Where do we get this from? Right here in your Bible. Your faith is founded upon fact, and the truth of the matter that is you as a believer here tonight bear witness to the amazing work of God's word, and he's going to bring this. Look, behold, my servant. Look, open your eyes. He's saying, look at him. Now listen, if you are Jewish tonight, I want you to know something. We love you because God loves you. But I'm going to give you a little mind blower right now, and I hope you enjoy it. When you look at Isaiah 42:1, we're speaking about the Messiah bringing forth righteousness to the Gentiles. In Isaiah 11, verse 10, the Bible says, in that day, that is in the future, there shall be a root of Jesse. Yes, he did come 2,000 years ago. Jesus came from the root of Jesse, but we're talking about the ultimate fulfillment of his coming. Who shall stand as a banner to the people. Look, everybody, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Share this to your Jewish friends. They've never heard of such a thing. That the God of the Jewish Old Testament saves Gentiles? Yes. Yes, he does. This is a shock. You say, Jack, I don't see what you're getting so excited about. Because I know Jewish people. And I love it. Every Jewish person I know, who's not a Christian, by the way, now, they're not even sure if they're Jews, by the way. They say they're Jews, but then when you start talking about God, they get all upset, and then, I don't believe in God. Well, how come? Where was he in the Holocaust? Oh, okay, you're upset with how he handles things. You're not arguing if he exists or not. I know him, and it drives them crazy. How can this be? Your own prophet said so, that God would save Gentiles. This is one of those great proofs that the Bible, by the way, listen, everybody, listen. This is great proof. Isaiah 11, 10 and Isaiah 42, verse 1, this is perfect proof that the Bible was not written by man. Because the authorship by man, the man portion of the Old Testament is a bunch of Jewish guys. Are you tracking with me? Do you think a bunch of Jewish guys who do not believe that God would save Gentiles would write in the book, hey, let's freak people out. Let's write in there and he's going to save a bunch of pig eaters. Do you see this? God authored this. In fact, listen. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Acts 10, 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jews who believed, so these are born again Jews, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. What? These are Jewish believers. They're born again like you. And God began to move, and a bunch of people like us started getting saved. And they started freaking out. What is going on? Can you imagine? This church thing's getting out of control. All kinds of people are coming. They're giving their hearts to Christ. That can't be happening. They're Gentiles. Ephesians 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Amen. That's us. I thought you guys would be way more excited about this than I underestimated your apathy. I'm kidding. I'm just happy to be saved. I'm just glad. And you know, I'm glad that God didn't say, you know, I saved these kinds of people, but not those kinds of people. I'm glad that God doesn't, you know, want just only a certain type of people in heaven. I don't understand him. I don't need to. I will never understand him. I'm not supposed to. But he's going to get a big kick out of having me up there. And people are going to be saying, how do you get up here? How did? And God's just going to say, that's my boy right there. There you go. And he's going to do the same thing to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Man for the Ages, Part 1. So glad you could join us today. You know, our hope is that you open your heart to receive the Lord's goodness so he can heal your bruised and damaged soul. God's Man for the Ages, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we've got a special CD offer for you today. It's a two-part message by Pastor Jack called Where is God When It Hurts? So many of us are suffering some kind of pain in our lives these days. The Apostle Paul endured great suffering, but instead of giving up, he encourages us to keep hoping in God who will comfort us so that we too can comfort others. Pastor Jack also reminds us that even though suffering does hurt, it's a way that we can know God in a much deeper way and in turn experience his compassion and loving kindness. God is truly the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. So again, our featured product for today is a two-part message CD set by Pastor Jack, and it's called Where is God When It Hurts? It's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.